So I'm going to apologize that I'm going to do a dry run on you guys. Rabbi Hashem, Rabbi and I are going to Potomac for Shabbos. Leman HaKarlo. And the topic of the Shabbos, officially the title of the Shabbos, is Life After Life. This is so... Rabbi is going to speak about Chiyus HaMeisim and all these wonderful things, Gugulim, whatever they can get him to talk about. I'm speaking halachadik, but it's a conversation which we don't normally talk about, and it's something which I think it's important to talk about. I think there's different approaches to it. I know this is supposed to be the shmooz before the summer, but give me a few minutes to talk about this, and then we'll tie it into the summer. I want to talk about Yom HaMavis. It's a very uplifting topic. I know. Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal says that he was once by a chasna, and they asked him to speak. He got up and he spoke by the chasna about Yom HaMavis. Only Rabbi Avigdor Miller could talk about Yom HaMavis by a chasna. He says a Ferish of Gemara. It's Gemara Brachas. Gemara Brachas, fourth parak. That the Mor says that they sang a song by the chas, so they asked him to sing. He says, "Vaylon de misna, woe that we're dying." So, like, that's the song that you sing by a chas. And I have never heard it yet by a chas. It'll happen eventually, but the beat will not be the right beat. I have to guarantee you that they're not going to use the right beat for that song. So let's talk about pshat that by the chas he's saying "Vaylon de misna." So there's a pshat. There's a saver called Mili de Brachas. So. If by now you haven't heard of Rabbi Grudzinski from Rabbi Wachschlag's initiative of putting out his Svarim, he's a Chaim Meretz's cousin, and he was here in America for 70 years. And Eli Otzim, the Rebbe said that if he had stayed in Europe, he would have been greater than Rabbi Chaim Meretz. He ended up in America, his kids are in Frum, etc. He's put a Sefer on Brachas called Mil de Brachas. So in his Sefer, Mil de Brachas, in Akamor, he says the following. He says that, what's the simcha of a chasna? Why are we so happy about chasna? It's nice, yeah, but what's the simcha of a chasna? The simcha of a chasna is that there's another family in Klal Yisrael. Why is it so important? Because that guarantees continuity in Klal Yisrael. We wouldn't die. There'd be no need for there'd be no big simcha v'chasna because there will always be continuity. So the yisod of the simcha v'chasna is the fact that we die. That's the yisod of the simcha v'chasna. So that's what the pasuk says. At time of leches, it's better to go to leches to base Abel, to base mishnah, b'chayit and aliboy. You're comparing the two things, so you can't compare apples and oranges. You have to compare apples and apples. The yisod of both things that you go to is about the fact that we're dying, but it's much clearer by the base Abel than it is by base Mishnah. So Toi Lelech is V'chayit and Aliboy. So that's Shat Nigamor. I once showed this through Shira Gifter. He was very, very, very. He once said this himself. And after I showed it to him in the Mil de Brachas, he was very nehana that he had said that Shat. So he continues and he says. He said it's over by his Thursday night shiur that he did this by the chas. And afterwards, the batan got up and said, "Rabbi Miller made everybody so sad, and now to make you happy." And he said some stupid jokes. That was how Rabbi Miller described what happened. He said, "You're making a mistake. That the idea that there's a limit to life has a limit is probably Chazal say that Bershom saw everything Bershom did was Tov Ma'od. Tov is one pshat is Tov is Yetzer Tov. Tov Ma'od is Yetzer Hara. One pshat is Tov Ma'od is the Yom HaMavis. Without the fact that we have a limit to life, we wouldn't appreciate life. I mean, I personally am a very big procrastinator. I am. I was one time thinking about, like, if I lived before the Mabul and I lived like 850 years, I'd be a mess. Like, I'll get to it like 300 years from now. Like, you can imagine how much procrastination you could do when you have 850 years to live. So you don't have 850 years to live. You have 70 years to live. See, Tzar comes along and says, 70, 80 years, you can also procrastinate. At some point in your life, you realize that that's not true anymore. You can't procrastinate. We understand that there's nothing more valuable in this world than air. But people don't appreciate the value of air until air is limited. the guy's underwater and he looks at his, you know, the gauge on his tank, and it says he has 5 minutes worth of air left to breathe, and he's 7 minutes from the surface. He starts appreciating the value of air at that moment. But till then, what's the value of air? Okay, breathe, you don't think about it. Till it's limited, we don't appreciate it. It's the most valuable. There's nothing more valuable in life than air. But how many times have you thought about air in the last 24 hours? The fact that you're breathing air. How many times have you thought about money? You probably thought about money more than you thought about air. What's the pshat? Money is more valuable than air. Of course, it's not. But we don't think about it because it's not limited. The Russian put a limit on life. He makes life valuable. The parsha is the parsha which talks about the patira of Miriam and Avia, talks about Aaron HaKoyen, talks about the Paraduma. It's the parsha which forces us to stop for a second. One of the parshas and think about the fact that life is not limited. Life is something which is extremely valuable. Why is it valuable? Because it's limited. But more than that, there's a phenomenal chazal. I saw this ha'ora from Rabbi Yemen Zilber Zatzal. He had this ha'ora. It's a mishur like a ha'ora. Pasuk in Mishlei talks about that you should always have the clothing should be clean. Levonim means what? It means clean. And you should always be anointed. You should smell nice. You should be ready to greet people. So Moshe, the Medrash says that there was a wife of a sailor, and her husband was out on the high seas, and she was adorning herself, and she was looking nice, etc. And her neighbor says, like, what are you doing? You know, your husband's away. He says, you never know. It's very possible that he might have a quick wind, and he'll come back quickly, and he'll knock on the door. So instead of seeing me in my curlers, and my flip-flops, you know, and my mousy house coat, he'll see me looking beautiful. Zok the Medrash, that's what it means. You should be prepared for the Yom HaMavis. So he says the Ha'orah is the Shuddha Ha'orah. Chazal's mashal for the day of death is a woman awaiting her husband. That's Chazal's mashal that they use to talk about awaiting the day of death and preparing for the day of death, is that a person is awaiting, a woman is anticipating her husband coming home early. That's what it means, the Yom HaMavis. Like, you couldn't think of a more morbid mashal. Like, this is, I'm sure, like a beautiful, beautiful thought. A woman's awaiting her husband, and she's preparing for it, and she's anticipating, and she's so excited, and he's going to come home early, and it's Gavaldik, and that's Chazal's mashal for the Yom HaMavis. It's interesting, different attitudes, different generations. So once upon, you go back 80 years, 100 years ago, death was a very normal, death is part of life. People died in the house. People died at home. There was childhood illness. They didn't have antibiotics. There's a lot of, you know, most people had at least one sibling who died during childhood. And the idea that people die was part of the thought process. Baruch Hashem, we live in a world where the medicine has advanced tremendously. Most death takes place behind the sanitized doors of the hospital. It's a fascinating thing, you know, like they're visiting a Beis HaKvoros, going to Beis HaKvoros. I'm not talking about it, so you go to Beis HaKvoros, down by Tzaddikim, just visit Beis HaKvoros. You go, the person goes in Tisha B'Av, the Pasuk says, that we're put, we're like Beis HaKvoros, just be misbrained on the fact that we're the part of our being is missing something. So I had a fascinating ma'aseh. So I'm a believer of going to Beis Olam. I took my kids to Beis Olam at a young age. The visit my parents, you know, nothing scary about going to a cemetery. It's part of life. It's part of life that the fact that people don't, we don't stay forever. There's another world afterwards, and you move on, and that's part of reality, and there's nothing to be scared of. Some people have a different attitude. I happen to think that the most beautiful place in the world is you push it, you get perspective on life in a tremendous way. Usually it's away from the city a little bit, it's quiet, you know, and there's nothing to distract you. You can just sit there and think about, what do you want to do with your life? You know, it's perspective, tremendous perspective. I got this, a Rosh Chodesh Elul message a few years ago, probably like 3 or 4 years ago. There's a person, the family used to live here, was a husband and a wife, and they had one child. So the child moved away, and the husband passed away, and the mother eventually moved in with her son, different city. The woman lived to be like 100 years old. She passes away, so there's nobody here left who knows her. You know, all of her contemporaries are already there in the Beis Arlam. So the mother passes away. So he brings his mother back to be buried next to his father. So he calls him up. I can arrange a minion, because you're not going to have a minion. So let's arrange the minion. So we get there to this. It's the old Beis Arlam in Capitol Heights, not from the nicest neighborhoods. It's the old Beis Arlam over there. And I get there, and I've never seen such a deep hole. In all the years I'm involved in, you know, by the cemeteries, it was the deepest hole I've ever seen that they buried her in. We dug by hand. There was one grave digger, this big guy, right? African American guy, big. I mean, mamash, like, he did the thing by hand. It took us. I mean, I brought cold water in the car because we were sweating bullets. It was already summertime, and we're filling and we're filling and we're filling and we're filling. It's a gate, you know. And I know what the guy was thinking, like, you know, what's wrong with you guys? He did it by hand. Okay, so after we finished, I looked around, and my wife's grandparents are buried there. So, you know, I want to come back, etc. I want to go. It's the first time I've been by their cavern, and I wanted to go back. So I went over to the fellow and said, you know, like, is it possible to come here? You know, so he says, you know, that's only too much going on over here. He's not constantly there. But he comes every day. And I says, why do you come every day? This is like with Rosh Chodesh Elul. He says, because before I go to work, I sit here and I contemplate what life is about. Now, you have the picture. It's like seeing a guy who looks like he's, you know, whatever, you know. He didn't look like he's the minister of a church, you know. He would be a simple fellow, but he said, I come every morning before I go to work, and I just contemplate the important what life is about, and then I go off to work. Because that was my Rosh Chodesh Elul shmuz, that the version set the message, you can send messages in different ways. That a simple person is able to sit there and say, you know, this is a place that gives you phenomenal perspective. So I have to tell you, when we picked this topic, so they were very concerned it's going to be a very morbid topic. And people relate to it with morbidity, and then they look at it as a morbid topic, and it's not a morbid topic at all. Chazal types up, this is Tov Moed, this is a tremendous, important thing. Like, why is it morbid? Contemplating the fact that you're not going to be here forever? Like, why is that morbid? Of course you're not going to be here forever. Like, what's the other side? So, there is a Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh says that a person goes in this world and he thinks it's his Ladar Darin. He thinks he's here forever. So, Klatzel says in a place, he says, you know, there's different, you know, you get membership in different clubs. So you join the golf course, you know, you pay membership, you're part of this club, you know, so there's a club called Chevr Shtarbers. I didn't buy membership in Chevr Shtarbers, so I don't have to die. That's what we think. I don't belong to that group. I didn't pay membership in the Chevr Shtarbers. Shtarber means to die in Yiddish. So I don't belong to Chevr Shtarbers. I belong to, you know, other Chevrs, but not the Chevr Shtarber. You know, right? Really? What we think we're going to cheat the Malchamavis? We're all not here forever. But why is that morbid? There's also Maisa with the Rebbe of Yitzchok, the Babacher Rebbe. The Rebbe before the last Rebbe. See, he was in Russia for about 10 years under the communists before he was able to get out. And he had this clandestine Seder underground network that he was dealing, you know, running yeshivas, chedorim, etc. And the communists knew about it. And one time they called him in. They wanted him to inform on the people which are working with him, and he refused. So the interrogator pulls out a pistol and puts a pistol to the Rebbe of Yitzchok's head. He says to him, this little toy has been known to make people talk. So Rebbe of Yitzchok answered back. He says, that little toy works for people who have one world and many gods. But for people who have two worlds and one God, it doesn't affect them. And the fellow realized that he's right. Like, what can you do to me? You can kill me. So I go to Elam Haba. Like, I'm not scared of going to the next step. Like, if you believe this is the end, this world is where it ends, it's like, it's very scary. I'm scared of what's going to be. I'm not worried about what's going to be. So you move next door. So the interrogator realized that he's not intimidated at all. He wants to kill him. But if he wants to get information of him, it's not going to intimidate him at all. Rebbeinu Wein says over Meisim, with the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim had an Eidim, Hirsch Levinson. Hirsch Levinson was a tzaddik nifla, a goyin. Chofetz Chaim loved him, mamish, a tremendous avos nefesh. He was like a young Chofetz Chaim. He was nifter young. So Chofetz Chaim had tremendous pain, Hirsch was nifter. At the end of that year, so the yeshiva was missing a rebbe, and also one of the other rebbeim yeshiva was not well. He had to go to the spas, so they had a meeting. They were deciding who should take over the shurim, etc. So the Chofetz Chaim is sitting with them, and he's saying, "So you know, so Reploini is going to say the Ershta shir, and you know, he says Ramani is the this year. He says of Hirsch, this rebbe is taking the water. So he, I mean, that's going to the spa. They're called taking the water. He's taking the water. So and so will say in shir instead. Of Hirsch is learning to sift the rikia. So and so will say his shir. That's how he said it. So the people were there, were present. The hargosha was that a Chofetz Chaim, Masipta the Rikia is down the block. And he went to the Tells. He's not available. He's in Tells right now. He's in Kethajir. He's in Tells. So he's in Masipta the Rikia. It's about the same level of statement that he said it, with the same level of clarity, as if he's living in, you know, he's Masipta the Rikia. So he can't Hashir. He's Masipta the Rikia. So someone has to say Hashir instead. Elam Haba is real. It's not about, you don't believe in Olam Haba. It's real. So the person who, Olam Haba is real. You're not scared by your gun, by your head. Like, well, what are you scared of me? Tells a Rav, you know, the Nazis, you know, were killing him. Rashi would say over this story, Kamat every year, and tells the day which the Yemizi Koran for the Kedoshe tells was Chav Tammuz. Chav Tammuz, most of the men of the city were killed out. Most of the people, the Bnei Yeshiva, the Rav, the Dayan, most of the people, the men of the city were killed out. The ladies were killed out, the ladies and children were killed out in Zion Elul, but the men were killed out in Chav Tammuz. So Chav Tammuz and tells every year was a special day. They would actually, it was tells, you know, there was a whole tachnit. There was a shir das the night before, and the next morning they would say slichus, and they would say petach tefillin. They would say special tefillah, and then they would go through the name. They give out the names, you know, of the kedoshim and the people of the mishnah. It was a whole production. But by the shmuz, she would say the shmuz. Then they would tell Rashir from the Talz Rav, you know, something on some on this maset that they were learning. They would tell Rashir from him, the Lenish Basay. So Rashir would talk about the last moments of the Rav. The last moments of the Rav, says the Nazi took him by the Kol Shekever, and he smashed his head with a hammer. He crushed his skull. So as he was banging on his head with a hammer, he says, you know, he says, "Vu is that Herabiner, Vu is dein Gott." He says, "Mr. Rabbi, where's your God?" So his last words, he says, "He's not only my God, he's your God also." And there'll come a day that the whole world will realize that he's also your God. And that was the last words that he said. But there was a clarity, like, you know, Shiva said over, like, that Gevurah Sadas, that moment when he's being killed, but the clarity, there's a Barei Olam. The Barei Olam has taken the Shamas to him. It's a movement from one world to the next. Like, there's nothing to be scared of. And we don't talk about it enough. I don't know why it sounds morbid. We don't talk about it enough. We need to have a clarity and understand that this is reality. This is the Bereshit made the world. The Bereshit made the world that we our neshamas live forever. They don't stay in this body. At some point they'll come back to this body. They move to a different place, and it's a movement. Famous Moshe from the Geshur Chaim. Geshur Chaim talking about this issue, whether you're the Maminim and not Maminim in the Olam Haba. He says that he gives a mashal that there was a woman had twins. She has twins, you know, and the twins are sitting on this mother's stomach, and one of them is a Maimon, one of them is a Kaifer. So Maimon says, you know, after this existence, there's another existence which comes afterwards. And it's beautiful, and there's this wide world, and you can see things, and you can move around. It's, there's a cup. Where do you get these stupid stories from? You know, all there is what we have right now. There's nothing beyond this. And, you know, at the end, what happens? You pop into nothing. There's a black void of nothing. It's all over. So they have this argument, you know, back and forth, you know, whether it's real or not real. There's a world after this world of the mother's stomach. But here, you know, the mother starts getting closer to the day, you know, and there starts upheaval, and there's this volcanic movement, there's, you know, these earthquakes taking place in their world. And all of a sudden, you know, it's time to come out. So the Maimon says, I'm ready to go. The Kleber says, hold on, don't let go, because it's the last moment, you gotta don't let go, it's gonna be the end. The Maimon says, come on, the gates. So he goes out first. Right, so he disappears into this black void, and then the brother hears this scream. He says, that's the end. That's the moment of the end. So what's that moment of the scream? That's the moment of the child when he comes out, and the first cry of the child into this new world. So that was the muscle that he gave to be mother. Like, we live in this little womb called Olam Hazeh, this little thinky womb called Olam Hazeh, and there's this gorgeous world called Olam Haba, which is gigantic, and it's way beyond, there's much more. And we're scared of it. We're holding on with everything. Hold on, don't let go, it's going to be. What are you scared of? There's a whole new world beyond there. The Torah describes the Mis of Aaron HaKohen. And Rashi brings up the Chazal. Chazal says it's Kemishkol Benisa Michal, but it's taking out. There's this hair floating on top of the milk. You pick it up, and that's it. But if you define yourself as Elam Hazed the Kemensh, it's not a problem. Ben Yerna talks about it. He says the more a person finds himself as an Elam Hazed the person, his interest in life is Elam Hazed, and his desire is Elam Hazed, and he connects his neshama to this world. So it's very hard to leave. It's very hard to say goodbye. The purpose of Yom HaMavis, the thing of Yom HaMavis, is Pasha, it's perspective. The Rishiva used to do this. I'm not advising it, because it could be. The most Seder tells us it was after Shacharis in my days. And Rishiva would switch off. One day he would learn the Geras Ramban. The next day he would learn, he would read, with the Nigan, 20 minutes, he would go through the Geras Ramban with the Nigan a few times, etc. Next day he would read the Geras from Kveger. Kveger had wrote a letter to himself. Letter about Yom HaMavis, and Rishiva would read it every other day. That was the Musa Seder. He would sit there and read it for 20 minutes. He would chaz it over with the Nigan. You know, the whole basement could hear him because his voice was like powerful to the nth degree. And talk about Yom HaMavis, and he talks about, you know, they'll put you into the ground, and they say goodbye to you, and they go back home, and they have a good party, and then and your wife is marrying somebody else. It's a wonderfully uplifting, you know, thought process about you're left all by yourself, and there's nobody cares about you anymore, you know. So what can you take with you? You only term it. That's like the letter. It's like, I mean, as a bacher, 19-year-old bacher, sitting in his meditation, the Shiva, like, saying this with a niggun every other day, it was like, whoa! I said, you know, let them learn Masil Sharm, like, in real loud, so you won't have to hear it. And I guess it was a motivation to learn Masil Sharm loud during Musa Seder. No. It's real. We shouldn't define ourselves by Elam Hazeh. There's so much more to us. It's the summer, the Zman is over. The Zman is almost over. The Zman already was over. Different sheet this. Right. And perspective is a tremendously important thing. Right. You know, again, if a person gets depressed by it, don't think about it. You know, if you can't handle it, don't think about it. But it's a chesed of Hashem to make us appreciate the matana of life that He gave us. He made it not limitless. It's a matana. It's a matana teva. It's such a valuable matana. The only way we can appreciate it is by the fact that it's not 850 years long. Because we wouldn't appreciate the matana that we have. And it's a tremendous matana. So a person decide what he wants to do with it. You know, a person needs time to refresh himself and relax a little bit, etc. But time is your biggest enemy. Time is your biggest friend. And that's what you want to take advantage of with the Zohar.